Come on, let's give Jesus a great hand clap of praise in his house. He's awesome. Amen. You may have your seats. Today we are so glad we've been talking about the book of James, and it's taken us all over the Bible. And today I want you to get ready because the book of James teaches us amazing things. And one of the most beautiful things that I've learned from James is that when we go through something, we go through trials, we go through something that we don't understand why it's happening, God has welcomed us to ask him, and God will answer our prayers, and he will allow us to know why we're going through what we're going through. How many would like to know the information like that? Would like to know why certain things happen in your life? Amen? Well, today, the Bible talks about, we're going to look on exactly what the Bible talks about when it comes to us being strong and grounded and rooted in God. It's very important that you and I understand what God's will is for our lives when we get rooted in him. Let me say this. If you would turn to James chapter 5, verse 7. James chapter 5, verse 7. I want to show you something. And verse 7 says, ladies and gentlemen, and if we can read together, dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. In other words, there's an attitude that we are to have when it comes to the looking forward of God coming and redeeming our lives. That we shouldn't just go winging it every day, wondering what God's going to do. We need to be looking like, hey, God, I'm waiting on you. What are you going to do today? God, I have expectation. How are you going to bless me today? God, I know I have needs. How are you going to work it out today? It is like a farmer that goes out to the field and goes, do I see any wheat yet? Okay, I don't see it yet, but I'm getting up tomorrow and I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fret. I'm going to come back out here and see if there's wheat in my field. It's an attitude of saying, God, I'm not giving up because it looked like it was raining yesterday. Even the rain will help my crops to grow. Somebody say amen. Amen. You've got to look at the days that are sunny and the days that are shady and the days that are rainy and know that all things work together for the... If you don't have rain in your life, nothing will grow. Do you hear what I'm saying? Sometimes you're wondering, God, why is it that everything seems to always happen to me? It's like one day I get one step ahead, two steps ahead, and then I go three steps back because God's teaching you how to dance. Come on, somebody. Come on now. How many Latin people I have in here? How many know? Come on. Y'all know how to dance? Y'all. Whoa. See, sometimes when trouble comes, we sit down, but we got to learn to rejoice and jump and dance for joy when trouble comes. You know why? That all you have to do, see, this is how you know the ways of God. You could complain or murmur or curse God. Or as in the book of Job, the wife wasn't even brave enough to curse God. She went to her husband and said, Job, you curse God and die. No. Don't put anybody else in trouble. You can either get mad at God or you can learn the two-step. Oh, shoot, I'm getting it. Oh, it was hard at first. All right, I think I got it. You begin to learn, I don't give up when trouble comes. I won't give up on my friends. I won't give up on my family. I won't give up on my opportunities. If a door shuts, it's because it was meant to shut. Hello, somebody. Come on, y'all. We've got to get to the point when we know that all things will work together for the good of. Listen, you step on my shoes, that means it's time to get new shoes. Y'all missed that one right there. He said, dear brothers and sisters, be patient and wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmer who patiently waits for the rains in the fall and in the spring. And the fall gets cold. It seems like it's not as sunny as it used to be. And I don't know about you, but Leesburg has been getting too cold for me. You know, I came to Florida for a reason. Hello, somebody. I came for the sunshine. But sometimes you've got to endure the fall. Oh, y'all missed that one. See, we want all the sunshines in the palm tree, but we don't want to fall. But to realize, we have to realize some things have to die in your life for the spring to come. Some things have to fall off the tree. Some things got to fall. Sometimes the thing you thought was keeping you alive, it's got to wither and die. So you see down at the root, it was always God, will always be God, and it shall always be God. Somebody say amen. Amen. You got to get bold enough to say, you know what? It ain't about what it looks like on the outside. I know I belong to God, and come fall, winter, spring, it doesn't matter. God's got me every season of my life. What season are you in now? The idea is that God wants us to think like farmers. Look at verse, it goes on to say in verse 8, look at this. You too must be what? Gracious. It must be what?
Patient.
Must be what?
Patient.
Are you sure that's what it says?
Yes.
What's patient mean?
Wait.
Huh?
Wait.
Y'all can wait? You sure? You sure you can wait? You want your blessing right now. I mean, R-A-T, now, right now. But can you wait on it? When you don't know where it's coming from, can you wait on it? When it looks like it's not coming, can you be patient? You know, the idea of a patient is someone that gets served by a doctor. Hello, somebody. If I'm a patient, that means I know my doctor's got to come in and check on me. If I'm patient, that means no matter what, he ain't going to leave me on this bed of affliction. He got to come in and check on me. He's got to come in and look on Steve Yates. He ain't going to leave me the way I came into this hospital. He going to get me up out of here because he's my doctor. And some of you need to realize today, some of y'all are in so much pain. You need Jesus to come in and do some doctoring on you. He's the only one that can do it. We done tried drugs. We done tried sex. We done tried lying. We done tried stealing. We done tried hurting people. We done tried intimidating people. But you can't get what you want except you get it from the man who controls the four seasons. Only he can bring spring back into your life. Only he can bring spring back into your step. Only he can put you back on the right path. His name is Jesus. I want you to stop looking as consumers. Where you come to church, God give me, God give me, God give me, God give me, God give me. And God saying, would you sow a little of yourself first? Okay, hold on. Somebody thinking, oh, Lord, here come the message about money. Oh, Lord. Listen, that's exactly why you need to be here today, because you are so caught up with money that you forgot that God reigns on the just and the unjust. Some people that are unjust are prospering because God is loving enough to allow them to prosper, because if they don't prosper, they can't give your family the job. So he reigns on all of us, but I want you to take control of your harvest. I want you to know that if you don't sow seeds of kindness, you don't sow seeds of love, you don't sow goodness and love and mercy with other people, then you can't reap What do you want to grow? Listen to me. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, what do you want to grow? No, say it like you mean it. What do you want to grow? If you spit in their face and say, excuse me. What do you want to grow? Then look at them again and say, then sow it. No, you didn't. Say it again. Then sow it. Listen, there ain't a farmer out there that ever reaped what he didn't sow. If I want corn, I gotta sow seeds of corn. If I want love, I better sow some seeds. I can't be a holiday curmudgeon. I just hate the holidays. Oh, happy Xmas, Xmas, Xmas. Some of y'all caught that. Don't even want to say Christmas. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be a Scrooge. Don't be a Scrooge. Bah! I didn't say that. Come on, say it with me. Bah! Bah! Humbug.
Humbug.
No, y'all supposed to say humbug. I say bah. Okay. All right, here we go. Bah!
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 Y'all need to change your ways. Can't be a holiday curmudgeon where you're saying, God didn't do this. Dude, listen, did you make it to the day? That's all I want to know. Are you here today? Are you breathing like right now? I mean, like right now, like right now. Are you breathing? Are you in your right mind? Listen, the evidence of God's love is the fact that you're here.
Amen.
That he's brought you this far. But I don't want you just to be a person that says, give me, God, give me, give me, give me. I want you to start to learn how to grow in your own harvest, that you take his word and you apply it. He says, love your enemies. What? No, he didn't say that. He said, love your enemies. How do you love your enemies when they're your enemies? I know a frenemies. You know what I'm saying? Everyone's got a frenemy. You know what I'm saying? For me, it's cheese. Some of y'all don't get that either. How many know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. I love cheese, but it's a friend of me, boy. More to my wife than me. But anyway, we have people in our life and things in our life where we're angry and we're upset because someone's hurt us. But Jesus says, you don't need them to say, I'm sorry, for you to forgive them. Because the only reason why you know about Jesus yourself is because he came after you. He sought you when you were in the worst state you were ever in. And if he didn't love his enemies, oh my gosh, where would we be? I'd be the chiefest, I mean, my wife would be the chiefest of sinners. How many know that you're grateful that God saved you? I want you to think like this. You too must be patient. And here's the word. Take courage. Say it with me. Take courage. Say it again. Take courage. When do you need courage? Courage is only necessary when you're facing your fears. When the thing that got you bent out of shape, you're saying, I trust him. Listen, I know because I've sold love and goodness and kindness to people that he won't leave me where I'm at. That I'm not gossiping and talking and whispering behind other people's back. And because of that, I know God's got my back. Come on, somebody. No. I take courage because in that courage, facing my fears, I know this one thing. The Lord is coming near. He's coming. He's not going to leave me. He won't forsake me. He is coming for Steve Yates. Who else is he coming for in this house? Listen, when you know that Jesus is coming, you don't leave your spot. Come on, somebody. When you have made up your mind to live for God, you don't move from your position because this is your stop. I don't want God to come up on my bus stop and Steve Yates ain't there. Hello, somebody. I got to be in my position when he cracks the sky. I got to be looking and acting and behaving and believing that he's coming. So I won't treat you bad. I can't cut you wrong. I can't treat you wrong because he is. How many when you grew up, you knew Daddy was coming home? And you, when you made a mistake, you know he's coming. Your whole heart be looking at the, was that a car? Is that a car in the driveway? Is that? Everything about your being is like, oh, where, oh, I hope he's late. But when you live a conscience-free life, meaning you're not mumbling, you're not complaining, you're not pointing fingers at people, you know what starts to happen? You start looking for Christ to come. Come on, Jesus. I'm ready for you, baby. Come on and bless me. Today, I need it. I know you're coming for me because I've been walking and looking for you. If you could live your life like a farmer, always in the field looking for the harvest to grow, you would be just like a person that's walking with Christ every day, believing he's on your left, your right, in front, and in back, and therefore, I am looking for him to do something for me. I want you to change the way you see life. Don't live life like, well, I can live any kind of way Monday through Saturday, and then I'm going to get right on Sunday. Y'all wear me out. I can only pray for so many people. But if you live right Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, if you loved your neighbor, if you treated people with kindness, if someone is hungry, you feed them. If someone is being outed and they're being ostracized, you go and you stand with them. You don't let them stand alone. You speak up against evil. You speak up against injustice. You speak up against things that are wrong. Then the mighty hand of God will fall upon your life. Listen to me. The biggest miracles I ever had is when I stood up for what's right. When I saw something wrong, when I saw someone sick, and it just wasn't right. I tell a story about the man who was in, his wife called me and said, my husband is in ICU. His organs are shutting down. Please, can you get here and say the last rites? And I'm saying, how old is your husband? He's 40 years old and I'm pregnant with his only child he's never seen. Then I'm not coming to say his last rites. I'm coming to get the man up off the bed. Don't call me for that. Don't call me for death. I come with life that you might have it. Come on. I am my Father's image. Do you understand? He made me in his image. So I don't come and say, well, if it's the Lord's will, let me tell you what the Lord's will is. What I say is the Lord's will. You will live and not. Come on now. Don't let life punk you out and tell you you got to accept everything you face. Say, no, I am a child of God and I deserve better. So I declare. Come on, somebody. You got to get mad. Somebody just go like this. Just get mad. Just shake a leg. Y'all want to do it? Do it. Do it. Let's just say, let me hear my pirates. You gotta get mad. Life been knocking you around and you taking it. You come to church with a busted lip. I walked up in that hospital. Wasn't no doctors in there. He's in ICU. And I walked over him. And I realized something about people. There's a proverb that says, it is the spirit of a man that bears his infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? So I knew that the man's spirit was keeping him alive. His body was just the engine and the shell case. So I know he could hear me. So I walked in, I said, listen, man, I'm going to say something to you because I know you hear me. And all of this stuff is just like he's about to die. I said, I'm going to say this once. You will live and you will not die. I command you in the name of Jesus, get up. All of a sudden, this man whose whole body was shutting down went, and all the machines going, do-do-do-do-do. I'm like, oh God, I just killed the man. I just killed the man. I just killed the man. And doctors came running in and they're like, what's going on? I'm like, I'm just visiting, a visitor. I wasn't that strong in my faith at that time. But anyway, I walk out and I get a call from the wife. I don't know what you did, but my husband woke up out of a coma that he's been in for 7 days. And he says, I'm hungry and he wanted ribs. Now, you know. When a man says, give me some ribs, he's whole. He's fine. He's fine. He'll be all right. That man came out of that hospital in 3 days. They kept them 3 days for observation because they couldn't understand how everything changed in a moment. You don't take your situation on face value. It is an illusion. The Bible says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. Say it with me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Say it again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, everything else is an illusion. I don't care what it looks like, how bad it looks. I know who is the way. I know who is the truth. And I know who is the life. And if I need any one of those three, I know who to go to. People say, well, how do you know what truth is? Truth is not an opinion. Truth is a person. His name is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if I need a dead man to get up, I'm going to life. If I want to run my life the way I should, I'm going to truth. And if I need to know what my next decision is, I'm going to the way. It's all in one man. The man who died on the cross for you and for me, who shed his blood because without the shedding of blood can be no remission of sins. Without him dying for you and I on that Calvary's cross, you couldn't have your sins wiped away. The worst things you ever did, you would still owe God money for. You would still have to pay it. But Jesus said, you can't afford to wipe away your sins, but I will come as an unblemished lamb and I will die on Calvary's cross with my blood shed. And by my blood shedding over you, your sins will be forgiven. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is. He is. So what does that mean for you? What does that mean to you? It means quit leaning on the person next to you. They can't do it for you. You can't lean on people. That's right, get off her shoulder because she can't do it for you. Amen. I'll just play. Only Jesus can make the difference. Too many married couples, they get together and they begin to say, well, this is my ultimate. If he don't make me feel happy, I'll never be happy. The devil is a liar. You better find Jesus by yourself. and then bring that Jesus into his Jesus, and y'all become one great big Jesus. But don't make your husband or wife your God. Listen to what he says in verse 9. If you really know who you are, if you really know who you are, if you really know your own personal value, this is one thing you will not do. Would you read with me, please? Don't grumble. Stop. Go back. Go. Stop. Go back. Go. Now, we just spoke about what God could do for you. How if you live like he's over your head and he's in your harvest and you can sow what you want to get what you want. Whatever you measure out will be measured back to you. You don't have to steal, rob, or kill. Just give what you want. You want a healing? Pray for someone to be healed. You need money? Give money to somebody else. You want love? Love somebody. You want kindness? Be kind. Sow a little kindness into somebody. People are sowing kindness because people need kindness. You want to know the word? Give the word to somebody. But watch this. He says, but don't do that. Don't grumble about each other. You know, grumbling is when you complain about each other in the church and you start talking about each other. And it's called gossip. It's a killer. The reason Eve fell in the beginning was because she was listening to her snake who was grumbling. God didn't say, you're going to die if you eat this fruit. He didn't say that, did he? That can't be true. But yeah, God told me. God, no. Don't listen to Adam. Don't listen to God. I'm telling you as a snake. Trust me. Isn't that just ridiculous? I'm telling you like a snake. Trust me. Listen. If you ever run across somebody talking about somebody else, you better believe they're going to talk about you. Oh, come on, saints. Listen, we got to up the game because we let people talk about other people instead of putting a stop to it. We let gossip go and they kill somebody else. And then we go, well, they were just sharing. They were grumbling. They were gossiping. And now you can't see the person the same way. Man, I could tell you stories. I've lost friends for 3 years because someone lied on me. And it took 3 years for them to finally wake up and realize the person who told them the lie is the person who was doing what they claimed I was doing. But that's 3 years of separation from life. Listen, if you've got someone that has life in them, in your life, and someone's trying to put a word between you and them, you rebuke that devil to their face because you can't afford to lose life. I've heard so many rumors about me, it's insane. I mean, it's insane. I heard one this weekend that blew me away. Someone lied and it affected a lot of people in the church. And they still haven't apologized. Grumble not against your own brothers and sisters. That's your family. That's your blood family. They may have messed up, but so did you. I could go back and read your sins and you'd be shamed. Who in this church is so holy that they could talk about somebody else? Please tell me who. Because you would be Jesus and I would be following you, and you need to be preaching today. If you that holy, come on up here and take the pulpit. But we have all sinned and have come short of the glory of God. All of us. But that doesn't mean I have to stay where I am. And I won't bring another person down because I'm jealous. Come on now. Too much of that. Look at your neighbor and say, I will not gossip about you. Turn the other side. Say to them, I will not gossip about you. Anybody that didn't agree, dodgeball. Come on. Come on, baby. Give it back to me. You said no. You gotta get down. He took a ball. He took my ball. Anyway. We have to be at a point where we say, this is my brother, this is my sister. I will not throw them under the bus. Because you never know how much you'll need them one day. Because the Bible tells us the moment we grumble about each other, well, I don't like the way pastor's doing things. I don't like the way sister thinks she all that. She dressing like she's somebody. Why he act like he got all that hair? Because I'm bald headed. And we talk about the silliest. You say, look at that car. Look at him spending all that money on that car. That car got 250,000 miles on it. It's praying all the way to church. Jesus, help me get there. Jesus, help me get there. Woo, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And you jealous of a Flintstone car. We got to love one another. Come on, y'all. We got to back each other up. We got to say, you know what? Listen, if you're going to talk about them, I know you're going to talk about me. So I can't hang with this. I can't do this. Listen to me. Too many saints have lost because of gossip. But watch this. If you caught up in that, I'm not going to mess with you. No, don't put my scripture away. Put that scripture right on back up there. You will be Judge Judy for the judge. What? What door? What? Whoa, 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 whoa. Who at my door? The judge is standing at the door. What door? No, I ain't having a door because, hey, he ain't going to wait till you get there. He going to judge you now. It's the door. Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If any saint would let me in. Quit fighting with murmuring and gossip and complaining. Let me in. Now I'm knocking now, but I might kick the door down. Then the judge comes. And I've watched people prematurely. Can I just say this? Paul puts it this way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, when you take communion, don't take it unworthily. He says, because it is for this reason that some of you are sick and some of you sleep. Now, let me explain that. People usually think, well, that means you don't take communion if you have sin. So you can come to church on communion day and go, Father, forgive me of my sins, and it's gone. No, that's not what he's talking about. What he's saying is, back in those days, that you had rich people that would come for communion, and you had poor people sitting in the corner. And the rich people would bring these giant baskets of food, and they'd be munching down, and they got their fellowship food. But over in the corner, the poor are sitting there, and they haven't eaten in 2 days. And then they would look down upon them and grumble and say, I'm going to take communion in Jesus' name. And he said, and Jesus said, did you not discern the body and blood of Jesus when you took communion? It is for this reason some of y'all are sick. Literally, physically sick. And some of y'all sleep. Now, the word sleep in the Christian terminology means dead. Grumbling, complaining, and talking about somebody else can get you sick or dead. Why? Whatsoever you do to the least of these, you did to me. God doesn't play with his body, and neither should we. Can we confess as a body of believers, we will not gossip about each other? Can we do that? Would you raise your right hand and say, I will commit not to gossip about my neighbor. And say it, keep your hand in the air. If I have done it, Lord, forgive me today. I'm sorry. We are the kind of church where everybody matters. We're going to have people in here with money, more money than they know what to do with. I'm going to have people in here with no money and don't know what to do. And we receive them all because we are the body of Christ. And we will love one another. As we move into 2020, you better come in with your back straight. I want you to man up, woman up, child up, Pokemon up, whatever it is. And I want you to come with your back straight and say, Lord, I'm going to live in the way of a Christian. You may have never done it your entire life. You may have been the way of a church person. I'm not asking you to be a church person. I'm asking you to be a person who follows Jesus in the way that he lived. And if you haven't done it today, make a decision to follow Jesus in his way. Would you stand to your feet for a second? He says, I'm standing at your door. I'm standing at your door. There's a lot of people here, and there's a lot of doors. I don't want you to lock that door off to Christ, because he isn't the one that hurt you. He's the only one who can help you. So today, I want you to get in position to let him back in your heart. Someone may have done you wrong, but even they aren't worth closing that heart off. Don't let anybody close that heart. Keep it tender. Do you hear me? Keep your heart tender. Don't let anger envelop your life. Keep your heart tender. Look on people that are hurting. And don't look over them. Help them. For we are a body of believers. We stand with one another. Now, you may come from another country. You may be online in Kenya or South Africa. But you're my brother and you're my sister. And I've got no respect of persons because he has none. all who will, let them come. We don't want to be that church where there's always rumors coming out of it. No, we want to be that church where they say, oh, that's Frontier. They know how to pray for people. They know how to heal. They know how to speak life. They know how to give. Today, if you're here under the sound of my voice, I just want you to close your eyes and bow your head for a second. I want you to hear my voice. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus, no matter what you have done, Jesus will forgive you. If you're here today and you've never let Jesus come into your heart, I want you to lift your hands in the air right now and say, I want Jesus in my life. I see you, daughter. Is there another? I see you, daughter. Is there another? I want Jesus. I see you. Thank you. Is there another? I see you, daughter. I see you, daughter. Thank you. I see you. I want Jesus in my life. Put your hand in the air because this is the day. I see you. I need you. This is it. I see you, brother. I need you, Jesus. You want him to come in your life and he can change your heart, make it tender again. He can make you the person you were meant to be. I'm going to count to three. And if you raise your hand, I want you to do something. I want you to come out of your seat by faith and come down to the altar and meet me as a born-again believer, a person who wants Jesus in their life. One, two, three. Come on down. Come down. Come on down. If you raise your hand, come on down. Come on down. Yes, yes, yes. Come on down. Come on down, brother. Come on down. Come on down. Yes, sister. Come on down. This is between you and Jesus. You and Jesus. He loves you. 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 There's nothing you have done that he can't wash away. There's no sin in this world he can't take away. Listen, not one of you are an accident. You were born on purpose. And because life can get hard, doesn't mean that it was a mistake. It just means you're meant for great things because you are able to bear it. I grew up in a home where my mother stabbed me in the throat because she was hurting. I stand forgiven by Christ, and I stand and I forgave my mother. And my mother came to Jesus Christ, and she is a born-again believer today. What the enemy did to us, God did greater through us. I'm here to tell you, your life matters to God. I want to say this prayer of salvation. And all it is, I'm going to talk to God, but it's really you talking to him. And when I say the words, you really say the words to God. And I want you, when you say this, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I want you to think about the very worst thing you've ever done. God's going to wash it away. And then he's going to put his spirit in you so you can live right. Don't let anyone tell you you need to control your life. God has control over your life already. Amen. You just let God in. Pray this prayer with me. Father, forgive me of all my sins. Everything I've done from the day I was born to this very moment, I apologize. I know today that Jesus is Lord. And he has forgiven me. And today, I am a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. It's done. Done, 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 done. Now listen. The big next step is this. I want you to learn how much power you really have. Because when you let Jesus in your heart, there's so much power for you. I want you to forget of your yesterday. It is the accuser of the brethren that tries to remind you of your past. But God only knows your future. Darkness can't comprehend the light that's in your future. It doesn't even get it. What God's going to do in your life. What he's going to do through you. What he's going to do through you. It ain't over. It ain't over. God's going to switch it all over. And you're going to move into your destinies. This is just the beginning. God has washed this entire altar and made it whole. Now, if you have a sickness on this altar, or you want a prayer for somebody else, just think on it and raise your hand in the air. I want to show you something. Get a prayer in your mind. And I want to show you now who you belong to, because God's going to cause things to happen. God, I want you to see their hands. And I want you to answer their prayers. You know what they're asking for. And you know how heavy it is. But you can do it. And God, I thank you for the evidence that is coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a great hand for these people. Listen to me. If you wouldn't mind...